Boker Tov, Rebbe, and
Boker
California.
Tov world. Okay, welcome to this Erev Pesach Sheni, 28 days in the Omer Tovshin Pei Vav, and we are on our penultimate daf here in Masechet Menachot. Who would have believed? Kuf Tet it is. And we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah. And this Halakha Mishnah is actually a lovely, lovely historical moment in Klal Yisrael's varied history. It was the world's first Chabad house, but it was actually aimed, and this is the way the Rambam ends up talking about the whole story, was actually aimed at Goyim, not at Jews. And the story is, this is the way the Rambam actually takes from our Gemara. He goes according to Rabbi Amar. is the following story. We'll be learning about it in the Gemara in detail. So basically, when Shimon HaTzaddik, who was just about like everything in one, he was the one that was the Messiah of Kol HaTorah Kula at the time, and he was the one who kept the Shechina and the Beis HaMikdash for all of those years. And when he was Nifter, that was with the time, if you recall, that a lot of the Nisim stopped happening and the Ner Ma'aravi didn't always burn and things like that. So basically, what happened was that when he died, he had two sons, and he wanted his younger son to be the Kohen Gadol because he was a greater Baki, and he was apparently a bigger Gadol all around, Yerushalayim and Aveda. So this son, whose name was Chonyo, didn't want to be Mekabel it after his father was Nifter because he was younger than the brother. And so because of that, he told his brother that he should be the Kohen Gadol. In the end, he changed his mind and he wanted it back. It was a whole, he was trying to get his brother knocked off. It's all a crazy story, which we'll learn about in the Gemara. Anyway, they find out about it and they end up chasing him. They're trying to kill him because of what he did in the Beis HaMikdash. And he runs away to Alexandria. Now, in Alexandria, this frustrated Kohen Gadol actually builds a Beis HaMikdash, a complete copy of the Beis HaMikdash, and he's bringing korbanot, but of course he only allows in goyim. So this is the version that the Rambam holds, and the Rambam uses a word that sounds like the kapsi, but the tzaddi he uses, but it could be that at that time that those were the inhabitants of the area in Alexandria. And Gavi, you're swollen. I mean, you're frozen. There you go. Okay, now we got you. Welcome back. You seem to be frozen again. I think Gavi's got trouble with this camera. In any event, this bias, if any kohanim would serve in this bias. So apparently it was a makom of bamais. It had to be a bamais because it was in Chutz La'aretz. So even though it was aimed essentially towards goyim, apparently, but there were Jews that would be makarv in it, and because of that, it was considered to be a terrible violation, and it was it lasted for centuries. But anyway, it was finally shut down. Actually, I don't know the whole history of it, but it was shut down by the governor of that area of Egypt at the time of the Greeks. Weird story. Anyway, so the question is, we utilize this Beis Chonyo as our sort of model for what happens when a Kohen is Oved either in a Bama or he was Oved Avedas Kirchhoff at any time. Does it become Pasul for Avedas HaKohuna in general? Does even Nogeya, according to many, Bisman Hazeh, whether he has a right to be Noseias Kapov, whether we continue to treat him as a Kohen, and so on. But again, we'll talk about that as we go along. I'm just giving you a brief Hakdoma to the Beis Chonyo. So somebody, says the Mishnah, somebody says, Ayola. Obviously, if somebody makes a Korban, neder for a Korban, he has to be makriv that Korban in the Beis HaMikdash, because that's part of the meaning of being Makriv a Karbon. So even though he didn't say anything about where he's going to be Makriv it, in order to be Yotzi his neder, he has to be Makriv it in the Beis HaMikdash. So that means we include in the neder the understanding that it's going to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash, because that's the definition of that Karbon, even though he didn't say so the Farish. But what if I said that I'm only making this Ola with the understanding that I'm supposed to be makriv it in Beit Chonyo? The moment that you said Arei Alai Ola, that's already mechayev you to bring the carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, im hi kriva, he still has to be akrivena b'mikdash. But im hi kriva b'Beit Chonyo yatsa, since in this case, he may be chai of Karis, but the point is that the neder that he made, he was Mekayim, so that he would still have been Yotzi that part of the neder. Because even though he's Bechuyv to bring in the Beis HaMikdash, he was Yotzi. Now this seems to be contradictory, and we're going to talk about it in the Gemara. How does that work? Rabbi Shimon, you got another problem over here. The guy said he is chai of an Eila. This is not an Eila. So because of that, your whole discussion is ridiculous. What do you mean, yatsa lo yatsa? He was not neder kederach hamisnadmin, like we said before. And therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, there's no chiyuv whatsoever over here. And why are we discussing whether he was yotze? Hareini nazir. Same thing is true. Somebody says, hareini nazir. Now, included in the dinim of naziris is that he's supposed to bring his karbanas, his shlomim, his chatas, his ayla, burn his hair underneath the el nazir, and so on and so forth. And that has to be done in the Beis HaMikdash. It's part of the dinim of Naziris. Now, im gilach bebeit chonyo lo yatsa. If he does all of that and he sees this as the Beis HaMikdash, so then, of course, he's not going to be yotze, because none of his those karbonas are karbonas. How about if he said the chatchila hareini nazir sha'agalach bebeit chonyo? He would still, the moment he said Areni Nazir, he would be mechayev himself to be Megaleach in the Beit HaMikdash. But again, in this case, since the original neder was to be Megaleach with Beit Chonyo, so he was mechayev his neder by being Megaleach with Beit Chonyo. And Rabbi Shimon again says, this is not even called the Naziris. I don't know why we're bothering to discuss it. This is not a neder at all, because it's not Kederach HaMikdash. So now, when you say that if he said, I'm going to bring an oil of Beit Chonyo, Bedavka, he was Yotze his neder. What is that supposed to mean? He was Yotze his neder. What neder? What are we talking about? Somebody who takes an animal of Hegdash and he shechts it outside of the Beis HaMikdash, it says in the Pasuk, Dam Shafacha Yishahu. That's not called Shechita. That's called just breaking its neck. I mean, like, how in the world did you bring a carbon? HaMikdal Katla. All you did was murder this animal. That's all. So I don't understand what we're talking about. Omer of Humnuna. Because when a guy says that, what he's basically saying is, saying that you're going to bring something in Beit Chonyo is as if you said, I'm making this a korban in order to be able to murder it and not to have to pay for doing that. So obviously he's still going to be chayv karas, because he said it was an ayla, and as long as he didn't stam kill it, it could have been a banana. But he's not chayev to replace it, and therefore he was yotzi his neder. Omer le Rava, does that make sense? Take a look at the seifa. How do you understand the seifa? The seifa says, "Harini nazir shagalach bebeit chonyo, he should be megaleach b'migdash, v'im gilach bebeit chonyo yatsa." So what is that supposed to mean? What do you mean yatsa? The explanation is like you just gave us, Rav Nadir, that you say it's ki'ilu, what? Ki'ilu amar, that I am a nazir, I'm a not, that I'm not chayef the achrayus if I kill my karbonus. This is great. But he certainly was not yotzi as naziris. He certainly is still going to be chayef in if he's betamil meisim, or if he drinks. What kind of answer is this? A nazir, kama de lo meisi karbonasov lo miskasher. If he didn't bring his karbonus, all very nice. He didn't accept responsibility. Thank you very much. But you also didn't bring your karbonus. And if you didn't bring your karbonus, so then you certainly are not going to be yotzi. What does it mean, yotzi? That can't be the explanation. So I'll tell you the explanation. The explanation is, says Rava, this guy who said the words, I am bringing an oila in order to bring it to Beit Chonyo. He never meant to bring an oila. The guy wanted to give a gift to the Lord. So he said, look, I want to give a gift to the Lord. This guy's a secular guy. He wants to give something, he wants to feel good religiously. So basically what he's saying is, if it's good enough to bring that gift to Beit Chonyo, fine, then I will do so. If not, look, I'm not interested in getting into a whole hassle over here. I certainly don't want to go to Jerusalem. I mean, whoever goes to Jerusalem. So if we can do that locally in our very beautiful local temple, that's great. And if not, then I'm not interested. The same thing is true, therefore, in the Naziris. Basically, the guy wants to be an ascetic, right? So he heard that the Torah has a room for people who are Messiah themselves. Okay, so this guy's got a psychological problem. So he wants to make himself pain. Okay, there are people like that. So you want to make yourself pain and never drink wine and so on and so forth. So he's saying, if that includes being able to bring whatever I need to do, my sacrifices locally in our lovely temple in the Beit Chonyo, so then fine. But look, I mean, there's a limit to how much hassle I'm going to be just in order to be Mekayim, my need to be Mitzayer myself and to feel holy, So that's when I think the only way to understand the Mishnah, says Rava. Says Rav Amnuna, hey, the Nazir part, you're throwing everything into one basket over here. The part of the Mishnah that discusses Nazir, you're absolutely right. I never thought otherwise. But when I was giving you an explanation of the Eila, you don't need to make an explanation like your explanation for Eila. The Eila essentially is Amanat Shelo et Chayev. And therefore, we have a very profound disagreement. According to Rava, there never was a carbon over here. According to Rava, the guy didn't want to bring a carbon. He wanted to bring a gift, whatever that meant. So if it was a gift, it didn't have a din of Kedusha. And then according to that, it wouldn't be, a carbon that you'd chayav on if you shecht it outside of the Beis HaMikdash, you bring it outside of Beis HaMikdash, you never say, so I want to bring a gift, whatever that is. Mashenkin, according to Rav Amnuna, it's not true. The guy wanted to bring a carbon, but it was Amanat Shelo Chayev, but that would mean that he would be Chayev Karis if he brings us a very big nafkamina between Rav Amnuna's approach and Rava's approach. And therefore, Rav Amnuna is saying, look, when it comes to the Nazir, we have no choice but to understand it the way you understood it. I agree to you, Rava. But when it comes to the question of the carbon, I don't think you can get away with murder in that sense and say that the guy never intended it to be a carbon. You're saying a big kiddush. V'af Rabbi Yochanan Savalot Rav Amnuna. Rabbi Yochanan also seems to agree that it's basically a carbon, except it's with a tidy zamachuyev to replace it in the event that he kills it. So therefore, that's considered to be yatsa because the neder wasn't mechayevim anymore. He's still going to be chayev karas for doing it. It's considered to be an act of murder, not an act of shechit. The Omer Rabba Bar Bar Chanan, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. If somebody says, Harei alai sha'akrivena bebeit chonyo, and instead of bringing it to bebeit chonyo, he brings it in Eretz Yisrael, but not in Yerushalayim, or not in the Beis HaMikdash, right? Somewhere in Eretz Yisrael. He was still Yotze, because when he said that he's going to bring it to bebeit chonyo, he didn't mean that it's only going to be there. It only means that he's not going to be chayev if he just chops its head off, which is essentially what he ended up doing by shechting it outside of Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, in this case, he would certainly be chayav karas, but, which is really like what Rav Amnuna was saying, and he would be yatza in terms of the neder, because his neder included a t'nai. The t'nai was that I'm not going to be chayav to replace it if it dies. Well, you killed it. Okay, so I said, I'm not going to be chayav. So in that event, he was yatza, but of course he's still going to be onesh karas, which means that it was a real carbon. According to Rava, it wasn't a real carbon. And according to Rav Amnuna, it was. If Rabbi Yochanan says you're chayav karas, that means that Rabbi Yochanan is going according to the shita of Rav Amnuna, not like Rava. Tanya nami achi, harei alai ola shakrivena bamidbar. So, this guy is really into the old way of doing things, like David Solomon. You want to do Bafyomi, you have to go to Chachmei Lublin. He had Charotanian. So he figures, okay, you want to bring an Eila? You got to go back to the Midbar and bring it where the Mishkan was. You know, that's the original way to do it. What are you bringing it in Eretz Yisrael for? So this guy says, okay, I want to bring an Eila in the Midbar, you know, to do it the way you're supposed to. In the end, he goes ahead and he's makarvit. And Eber HaYarden, you know, that's as close as he gets to the Midbar. Anyway, bottom line is, he was Yotze his neder, but he's still going to be Chayiv Koretz. So yeah, it's close enough, you know, to the Midbar. Okay, so now let's talk about what happens if you did any kind of Aveda in this Beit Chunya. So we're ready for our Mr. Right, who seems to be Mr. Wrong this morning, because he's hiding. And we do have, however, that very dangerous doc who is ready and willing at any moment to bring in the old Litvisher way of doing this and introducing our Mishnah with a famous doc.
Zok the Helika Mishnah.
Hey, I think you're getting affected by Richie. All right, thank you. So how about you have these Kohanim who did, they were hired over there and they were working at Beit Chonio, a lot of frustrated Kohanim, and they have that local temple and it looks like the real thing. And, you know, if it looks like the real thing, that's close enough. And okay, so he did Aveda over there. He is not allowed to be a Kohen and to be Oved in the real Beis HaMikdash. So we see that this was Mamish. A din that happened during the time of Yoshio. We're going to bring the whole story. So he can't be over in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, for sure, Ein Tzarech Lomar LaDavar Acher, for sure, if he, Chas V'Sholom, had done any kind of work for an Aveda Zara, that for sure, he'll never be able to do anything in Yerushalayim, even if he did Teshuvah, Shleima. He is not allowed to do the Aveda. Shenemar, Achro Ya'alu Kohanei HaBamot El Mizbach Hashem B'Yerushalayim Ki Im Ochlu Matzot B'Toch Acheihem. So what happened over here? Yoshio went, made tremendous campaigns of Teshuvah, and he busted up all of the Bamos, which was like the first time that this had really been done, not only to destroy all of Avodah Zarah, but to destroy the Bamos. And then they decided that they're not going to allow any Kohen that had been Oved on the Bama to work in the Beis HaMikdash at all. He would have a din of a Baal Mum. So as a Baal Mum, he's allowed to actually have a chelek in the Karbonas, but he can't do the Aveda. So he is Kibali Mumin Chokim Ve'Ochlim. They have a chelek of the all of the korbanos that are given out to that mishmar, but and he can eat it, but lo makriven. He cannot bring anything himself. So Amar Rav Yehuda, a kohen who did a shechita to avodas kochavim, he is not prohibited from bringing a korban, and in fact, korbano reach nicholach. It's a completely kosher korban, and there's no problem. Why is that? Because it's only Shechita. And Shechita is not something that a Kohen does. Shechita, anybody can do. Shechita is a Zar. So that's not considered to have been working as a Kohen for this Avodah Zarah. And therefore, it would not passel him based on this. Om Rav Yitzchak Bar Avodini, you know what this is based on, what Rav Yehuda said. It's based on a Diyuk in the Pasuk. It says, take a look at the Lashon in Yechezkel. Yan asher yishartu otam lifnei gilulehem, v'hayu lebet Yisrael lemichshol avon, al kein nasati yadi aleihem nu Hashem Elokim v'nasu'u avonam. So because these Kohanim, they were misharet, look at that particular language, yisharet, they were misharet in front of idols, so they were machshel, all of those people, in Beis Yisrael, and because of that, they are going to be nosei avonam, and I'm not allowing them into the Beis HaMikdash. Now, this is not talking about Bamos. This is talking about real Avodah Zarah. And the next pasuk says, they're not allowed anymore. Lo yikshu elai l'chayin li. I don't want to see these guys. They shouldn't come over here to be kohanim for me. Now look at the lashon. Yan asher yishartu otam. What is that lashon? Sheirut. Is shchita sheirut? No. Shchita can be done by a zar. So obviously it doesn't have a din of sheirut. And that means e avat sheirut. But if they actually had done an act of sheirut to an avat zar, then they can't come into the Beis HaMikdash. But shchita lav sheirutu. And therefore, that's the basis of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, if he did an act of shchita, then his being a kohen for that shchita is irrelevant. And because of that, he's not included in this yan asher hayu mikshol and so on. So it's a different din. Itma. Now, we're going to have a number of machlokas in here. In the end, the Gemara is going to go through all four versions of this machloka. And we're going to see why we need all of these different elements in what seems to be a similar machlokas between Reb Nachman and Reb Sheshes. So, first of all, Itma. A kohen was shagag bezrika. So let's say he did an act of zrika. Now, zrika sadam is definitely sheirut, right? And he was in front of an avodah zarah, and he didn't realize that this was an avodah zarah, that it was us, whatever his shagag was. So Reb Nachman says, if he was only shogeg, so then korbanot reach nichoach. Reb Sheshes amar, en korbanot reach nichoach. Obviously, he has to do tshuva, whatever, but if he realizes that he did something wrong, and so then he's not permanently disqualified. Hashem Ken Reb Sheshes says, no, the korban is not acceptable. It's not, doesn't have a din of reach nichoach. On Reb Sheshes, I'll prove to you that it's not a kosher korban. You know what I mean, Allah? And from the very pasuk that we have in Yechezkel, it says, "Vayula Beit Yisrael Mechshol Avon," which means, what is this double lashon? Mechshol Avon. Well, the double lashon is, my love, either a mechshol is something that you slipped on. So he slipped up, which means that it was b'shogeg. So it's either a mechshol or an avon. Now, mechshol is shogeg, and an avon is mezid. So therefore, it's saying, I don't care whether it was a shogeg or not. I don't want these Kohanim coming to me in the Beis HaMikdash, like the next Pasuk says, Lo yikshu elai l'chayin li. So it's a preferish of Pasuk. I don't understand how you can even argue with me, says Reb Nachman, because Michshal and Ovon are not two different things. There's different ways to be a lifteiver lo titein michshol. You could be a michshol and giving a guy bad financial advice. Bad psychological advice, bad medical advice, whatever. That's also a michshol. Therefore, the Torah has to point out a michshol of Ovin. When I say Dian, that are you michshol, I'm not talking about that they weren't very nice to my children. I'm talking about that they caused them to be chayte. So I have to put in those words. Michshol of an Ovin. Omer of Nachman, I'll prove it to you that that's what it means. Doesn't mean that if it was b'shogeg, then it's also going to be a permanent disqualification. Titania, v'chiper ha-kohen ala nefesh ha-shogeget, b'chet'ah v'shkagah. So you remember we learned that the meaning of the words b'chet'ah v'shkagah is on the very same nefesh that was chayte b'shogeg. What does that mean? That the kohen can be mechaper on himself, is what it means. And that is said in the parsha of the korbanos that are brought either by the tzibor first and then afterwards for the yochid, for avodas kechavim. And that's mikol mitzvos Hashem, the what mitzvahs connected, all of the mitzvahs is avodas are. That's that whole parsha that we have in Shlach. So melamed, shekohen mitchaper al yedei atzmo. So now, he obviously is bringing a korban for what he had done wrong. Okay. So tell me, what had he done wrong that he's coming on to be mechaper now? He had done b'shogeg and he's bringing a korban. And it says over here that he can actually do the avoda for himself. So that means that his avoda is acceptable as a kapara. So what did he do wrong? Did he do a shchita to an avodah zara? That's not called sheirus. So then it has nothing to do with whether it was b'shogeg or b'mezid. We said before Maya Shoging, I feel amazing, Nami. We said that anything that doesn't have a din of Sheruz, it wouldn't pass to him anyway. So what do I need the pasuk here to tell me that he can do it? Obviously, why not? Elalav Bizrika. So he must have done a real Sheruz. And he did it b'shogeg. And the pasuk says, if someone was Eved Aved Zara b'shogeg, meaning as a Sherut, then as a Kohen, he could bring a carbon for himself. But according to you, he can't bring a carbon at all. What do you mean he can bring a carbon for himself? He can't do any Sherut for anybody's carbon. So I don't understand how you're arguing with me, says Reb Nachman. It's a bit feirish that he's not pasul, even though he did an act of Sherut. So how does Reb Sheshet explain that? Reb Sheshet, Omelacha, I disagree. I think you're basing this whole idea on a mistake. Liolam b'shchita. I say the whole idea that you're predicating your chiddusha is that shchita is not called sherut, and it says if they were yeshartu lifnei. What do you think yeshartu? You think the pasuk is talking to briskers? The pasuk is talking to people. What is sherut? That's serving in the temple. What does it have to do with whether it doesn't have a din? It needs a kohen. It doesn't have a halacha of sherus. We're not talking to a yeshiva bacher over here who's moving his thumb back and forth. This is not sherus. We're saying somebody who went ahead, he worked in a church. He was doing things for the Avodah Zarah. So what's, I don't understand. You're telling me that if somebody went ahead and shechted karbanas for people in a church, that's not called, he's not a misharet. He's a misharet. What will you call him? What will you call him? You call him a misharet. The guy's a worker in a church. So what kind of business is that? Person was hired by the church. He's on their tax bills. And now you're telling me, but technically speaking, it doesn't have a din of sherut. Who ever heard of such a thing? So I disagree with the whole thing. And we are talking about shchita. Absolutely. And I don't think that he is different because of that. And he is, in fact, pasul. So I agree. Technically speaking, you're right. It's certainly not called sherut. But nonetheless, he's certainly not going to be acceptable as someone who is a mesharet l'avedus kachovim. And therefore, that it itself is a psul. I understand that the pasuk, if you're looking at the din, so then fine. He's yotze with his Aveda. But I don't see that is not called a Sherut at all. And I think that a guy like that can't be even in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the truth is that this Machlokas with Nachman and Reb Sheshet is really another Machlokas that they had, the Yazdil Tamayu, because we find that Machlokas in the following argument. Hezid B'Shchita. Reb Nachman says, well, that's not called Epsul Korban Reach Nichoach, whereas Reb Sheshet Amar, no. Hezid B'Shchita is called a Misharet, and in Korban Reach Nichoach, not bad, I don't need Psukim for that. It's obvious that if a guy is a Misharet for Avodah Zarah, that's not a Reach Nichoach. Reb Nachman Amar Korban Reach Nichoach, because technically speaking, Lo Avat Sherut. Reb Sheshet Amar Ein Korban Reach Nichoach, because he was a Misharet. He didn't do Sherut. You're right. But is he called a Misharet? Yes. So he's not a Misharet, Lavadis Kerchovim. He's a Misharet, Lavadis Kerchovim. And therefore, it's inappropriate that such a person would be doing Aveda. Omer Nachman, I'll prove it to you. How do I show you that it's not considered to be a Pagam in a Kohen if he only did Shrita? The Tanya. Kohen, Shavad Avadis Kerchovim, Vishav, Korbanot, Reach Vichoa. If a Kohen did Aveda, and he did Teshuva, then he can actually work at a Beis HaMikdash, and the carpet is okay. Now, I ask you, says Reb Nachman, tell me what the case was over here. But mine, we're talking about a case of Shogeg. So then what do you mean, Vishav? A Shogeg is a Shav. A Shogeg did never, oh my God, I had no idea that was Usher. What do you mean, Vishav? He never wanted to do anything wrong. Shav V'Omedu. He's, by definition, he's in a state of Shav. Elapshita, we're talking about over here, he did it b'mezit. What did he do b'mezit? Did he do zrika? What difference does it make if he shove? It's not going to be any good because the pasuk said, in Yecheskel, I don't want to see this guy in the Beit HaMikdash. So what good is it for him to be shove? It wouldn't help us. So ibi zrika, ki shove my havi, what good is it? Pavad like Sherut, Zrika, Sherut for sure. So it's got to be talking about that he did something bemazed, and what that thing was not a real Sherut, it was Shrita, and it's telling me that if he does Teshuvah, he can come to the Beis HaMikdash, and his Karban is Reach Lichach, which is what I'm telling you all along, and you keep arguing with me. Rav Sheshe says, no, it's talking about that he did it B'Shogeg. When it says in the Braita, V'Shav, it doesn't mean that now he does Teshuvah. It means he did this act as a shav. So he's a shav me'ikaro. What does the word shav mean? That he did it b'shogeg. That's what the word shav means. So it's coming here to tell me if what he did b'shogeg, tichi avad, b'shogeg avad, then korban ovar reach nichach, which is what I'm trying to tell you. That if it wasn't done b'mezid, then it's not a pogam forever. Im lav. So that's if it wasn't b'shogeg. So then the pasuk in Yecheskel says it's finished. Another machlok is the same, which seems to be basically the same idea. So this is now the third machlokas we've had. Suppose all he did was ishtachavoya. Ishtachavoya is not a sherut. So on the one hand, it's not a sherut, but on the other hand, it's worse than sherut. Because, I mean, if the guy is doing sherut, for people who come in, you know, and they put a quarter into the vending machine where the Bisharik brings, does his Aveda, he's not doing anything for himself or indicating in any way that he believes in this. You know, he's just a professional coin. You know, I can be hired for a kahuna for anything, but I don't believe in this. So on the other hand, if he's Mishtachav, he's indicating that he himself is a follower. He himself is a believer. And the act of Ishtachavoya is itself an act of Avedas that's Mechayev you as Avedas Zorah. Even if you're Mechabo Alatz Mechal Eloha, that itself is going to be Mechayev you. So what about if he was Mishtachav? So Nachman says, that's okay. If he did Teshuvah, his karma would still be a Reach Nechach. He didn't do any Sherut. Whereas Reb Sheshes again says, no. Ein Korbano Reach Nechach, because of the fact that he's considered to be maybe not a Masharet, but a true believer. And now, yet another machlokas between Reb Nachman and Reb Sheshes. The Gemara is going to explain why we need all these variations on the theme. That if he was Mekabo the Avodah Zarah himself, he was Moded to the Avodah Zarah. He was Hodel Avodat Kochavim. So again, Reb Nachman says, well, he didn't do any Sherut. Korbano is Reach Lichach. And again, Reb Sheshes says, look, the guy says he's a true believer. He's not ever going to be able to come into the Beis HaMikdash. Fine. So now, why do we need four different machlokas? V'tzrich, I'll tell you why. Because Yesh Minan Achkamaitza, let's just say we had that first machlokas about a guy who did a Zrika Saddam B'Shogeg, whether he is also included in this permanent psul. So I would have said, yes, in that case, Reb Sheshes said that the Kohen is possible because he definitely did do Sherut, because he did an actual act of Zrika, which is Mamash Sherut. But to do Shechita, even if it was B'mezid, where he never did any Sherut, maybe he'd be Moda to Reb Nachman. I mean, one has nothing to do with the other. Mashenkin, if I only had the case of Shechita, I would have said, okay, Shechita, I understand, he did an Aveda. It's true that it could have been done by a non-Kohen, and it's not Sherus, but he actually did an act of doing something for the Avodah Zarah. Mashenkin, if he just bowed down, he didn't do any Maaseh of Avodah at all. So then he's just describing his own personal belief system. No Avodah Avodah. So maybe Reb Sheshes wouldn't have held that he's Patsa in that case. So I need that case also. And even if I would have had that case, and I would have known that he's Tachavoya, is enough, I would have said, yeah, you know why Ishtachavoya is enough to pass him according to Reb Sheshes? Because he did an act. Somebody who bows down on the ground, so he is Ovid Le Maisa. But if a guy says, I accept the great Lord Scroochie Bopper as God, you know, well, that's just words. It don't mean nothing. So Mishum, the Lo Ovid Le Maisa, where it's a Haida, it's just Dibura Bi'alma. Maybe Reb Sheshes wouldn't have said that he's possible. Therefore, I need all these cases. And obviously, the inverse is true. If I only had that first case, This last case, I would have said, okay, maybe it's only over there that Reb Nachman says that it's Reach Lichor, but if you actually did a Maisa with Ishtach Avoya, then maybe it would be Maida. And if I learned out Ishtach Avoya, I would say, okay, that's because it wasn't an act of Sheira, and so on and so forth. We would go with the same thing that we needed to know, that we would have thought Reb Sheshes was Maida to Reb Nachman. I need to know in the inverse, that if I only had the last case, and then the one before, in each one of those cases, I would have thought that Reb Nachman was Maida to Reb Sheshes in the prior case. Okay, so therefore Tzricha. Now, the Mishnah says, and I don't even need to mention that if this Kohen actually had worked in a church, not in the glorious temple of Chonyo, you know, so what does that mean? It means that the temple of Chonyo was not a church. Because it says, Ein tzarech lomar davar acher. So, midikama, Ein tzarech lomar davar acher. I need not even mention that, of course, if he did an Aveda for an Aveda Zara, but that means that what the Mishnah is essentially telling us is that Beit Chonyo is not a makom of Aveda Zara, and that itself is a machlokes, and it, basically this Mishnah is going, Tanya Kamadi Omar, Beit Chonyo, Lav Avodat Kochavim, and we know that that was a machlokes. Now, here was the story about how the whole crazy building of a temple in Mitzrayim, in Alexandria. I mean, this is a wild story for hundreds of years. I mean, we know what that community in Alexandria, I mean, an incredible community in Alexandria. And this was a full-scale temple. So here was the story. Otashana Shemek Shimon HaTzadik. So the year that Shimon HaTzadik died, he told the people that were with him on Yom Kippur that this is the year that I'm going to die. Shana zo umet. So they asked him, how do you know? What makes you say that? He said to them, because every other Yom Kippur, when I go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, nizdamin li zaken echad, lavush levanim, v'nitatev levanim, I'm always accompanied by this vision of an old man that's dressed in white, and his head is covered in white, v'nichnasi mi, me, and he would come in with me and go out with me. And so I realized that I was under protection, milamala. This year, all of a sudden, I see this old man now, he's all covered in black clothes of mourning, and he's wearing a black hat of mourning. Obviously, he couldn't be wearing anything like that if it was for life. And he was nichlasi me, but he never walked me out. Uh-oh. That definitely made me feel something is wrong. And sure enough, v'achar haregal, cholo shivas yomim, after the sukkahs, right after that Yom Kippur, he got sick. 7 days he was sick. And from that time on, ninu echav ha-kohanim levarech b'shem, they refused to use the shem ha-mefurash. Until that time, they would use the Shem Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, which was mutter. But after that, they didn't feel that they were on a Madrega, or maybe they actually forgot it, because it says if you're not on a Madrega, it says Nimnu is Mashma, they didn't want it exposed. So they didn't say anymore in Birchas Kohanim, they used to use the Shem Hashem, they didn't use the Shem Hashem in Birchas Kohanim. B'sha'at Petirato, so as he was dying, he told them on his deathbed, I want my son Chonyo, Chonyo b'ni yishamesh tachtai. I want him to be the Kohen Gadol. Now, we have two versions over here. Nitkane bo Shimi achim. Now, Shimi was very jealous because he was Gadol mimenu shtei shanim u'netza. He was 2.5 years older than him, and he felt that he should be the Kohen Gadol. And so because of that, he wanted to get Chonyo knocked off, and that way, he would actually become Kohen Gadol. Omar lo, so Shimi said to Chonyo, so even though Chonyo was the one that was more of a Baki, so Mefarshim explained, he was more of a Baki, but he wasn't a Baki in the Milui. And he didn't know, like, what it is you're supposed to do on the first day. He knew that there was the din of bringing a Minchas Chinuch, and the relationship of the Minchas Chinuch to the Minchas Chavitim, all of those dinim He didn't know the special halachas of the day that he was monuit to be the Kohen Gadol. So Shimi said, I know those dinim. I was taught those dinim, and I'll tell you what you got to do. Bo v'alamecha seder aveda for the days, the first day. So what did he do? He'll be shobu unkali v'chagaro b'tzilt. So what did he do? He put on a woman's blouse on him, and he put on this beautiful woman's sash, you know, and he puts him in front of the Mizbeach. He gives him this whole shtick, you know, it's Kabbalistic. Klal Yisrael is the female, you know, whatever. Okay. So he talked him into cross-dressing as the Kohen Gadol. You can imagine what kind of impact that's going to make in among the Echo HaKohanim, you know. And he puts him up there to the Mizbeach. And then he goes to speak to some Kohanim that are there. And he says, Liachav HaKohanim, I'm not telling you this guy, my brother, it's so embarrassing. Look at this. He's got this lover he's been hanging out with. And he told her, I love you so much, honey bunch, that the day that they make me the Kohen Gadol, I'm going to put on your blouse and I'm going to wear your sash as I do the first Aveda in the Beis HaMikdash. They go crazy. He's got this lover. He promised her. And he's Makayim it now. I can't believe it. He told her, Oto hayom she'eshtamesh b'kuna gedayla el bosh b'unkali shalech. I'm going to wear your blouse. V'chkor b'tziltzil shalechi. So they decided they're going to kill him. Big shoach of l'konim l'hargo. So he runs. Yechonim runs. They chase after him. And they chase after him all the way to Alexandria. He had to escape to Alexandria, Shomitzrayim. And there, he was so frustrated. He built on his Mizbeach there, and he brought korbanos for Avodas Kechavim, and this is the first version. I remember, this is not the version that the Rambam settles on over here, and that we're actually, the Mishnah settles on, because the Mishnah says it wasn't the base of Avodas Zarah. Take a look at the psychology of people who have a position. These guys are dangerous. They are murderers. This guy, Shimi, I mean, he didn't even become a Kohen Gadol, you know? He just wanted to be a Kohen Gadol, and he was ready to kill. Just imagine how Yoredlov, the guy already had a position, and you're threatening his position. He'll kill you. So, halachas kama v'kama, divrei Rebbe Meir. This is an indication of the extent of human psychology. And how dangerous it is to mess with people when you're threatening their position or a position that they want. Nothing stands in their way.
Yeah, what's he thinking would happen once he's cross-dressing as the Kohen Gadol? I mean,
What do you mean?
I don't understand. What's Avraham Avinu? He just wanted to fulfill his neder?
I told you weren't listening. I told you, gave him a whole Kabbalistic shtick, you know? What are you going to do? The Kabbalist said you're supposed to dress like a woman on the first day because Klal Yisrael is like a woman and going in front of, you know what it is? I mean, it's all of these Kabbalists have got those kind of stuff. So anyway, says Rabbi Yehuda to Rabbi Meir, that's not what happened at all. You got it all mixed up. Lo kach haya maaseh. The maaseh was that Chonyo didn't want to be the Kohen Gadol because he felt that his brother was older than him and it was inappropriate. So even though his father had given him the Kuna Gedola, and he didn't want that to be in a position of putting his brother down. But then when he thought it over, he saw they started giving him all of this covered, you know, and now he's left out. And now he realizes, nah, I made a mistake. The only way that I could become Kohen Gadol is if we kill him, we get him killed off, so then they'll go back to me, right? So he said to Shimi, Chonyo said to Shimi, which makes more sense, because Shimi didn't know the dinim. Chonyo was the bucky. So Chonyo said to him, listen, let me tell you what to do. And he did the same thing. He'll be Shobu Unkali, Chagaro B'Tzilzul. And then he puts him by the Mizbeach. And then he goes to the Kohanim and he says to them, take a look at this. Ru'u ma nadar zeh v'kiyam la'ahuvato. This is what he said to his lover. Oto hayom she'ishtamesh b'kuhuna g'dayla. El bosh b'unkali shalichi v'chgor b'tziltzo shalichi. That's how much I love you. Anyway, so at that point, they are going nuts. Then they are ready. They're all coming over there with their pitchforks and torches, and they are ready to burn Shimi alive. So Shimmy says to him, just hold on a minute. Give me 1 minute to speak. It's the Rambam. The Rambam gives the expanded version in the Pirush HaMishnayos of the story. And so Shimmy says to him, wait, before you cut off my head, let me at least speak a couple of words. Anyway, tells him the whole story. Sachlam kol ha'ma'ora. They realize that he's telling the truth. And that means that it was Chonyo who was mamish. I mean, what a bizarre for the Beis HaMikdash and the Mizbeach to turn the Beis HaMikdash into a place where he's going to pull jokes like this. It's disgusting. They decided they're going to kill Chonyo. So Big Shulah Roges Chonyo. So the whole mob that was chasing Shimmy now starts chasing Chonyo. Chonyo runs to the Beit HaMelech, who of course was not Jewish, but he asks to be saved, but the king couldn't save him, as the Rambam said. There were not enough people in the front of the Trump expansion to be able to prevent the mob from getting after him. So he ran away all the way to Mitzrayim, and everybody who saw him as he ran through the streets, that's him, that's him, get him! Anyway, wherever he went, Zo, that's him. And he ended up needing to run all the way to Alexandria, Shel Mitzrayim, and over there, all of his frustrated kahuna came out, and he built his Mizbeach, and he brought Karbonos on it, but it was only L'Shem Shamayim that he brought it, and as the Rambam explains, he only opened up this house for which the Rambam says, a Chabachki, he says, which he means the Coptics, apparently. He spells it with a Chof, so it's not really a Chabana. But anyway, this was the Kiyum of a Pasuk. The Pasuk incredibly says in Yeshayahu that Bayomahu Yiyem Mizbach LaHashem B'toch Eretz Mitzrayim. There is going to be a Beis HaMikdash with a Mizbeach for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the middle of Eretz Mitzrayim, and a Matseva Etzel Gvula LaHashem near the border of Mitzrayim. They will put up a Matseva to show that this is all to be worshipped for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So apparently, even Yeshayahu was saying that there's going to be a time to come, and it's going to end up that someone is going to bring Karbonos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Eretz Mitzrayim. So what do you think it's referring to? If it's not referring to Beis Chonyo, I mean, Yeshayahu said this is going to happen, and this is mamish the kiyum of that nevuah. And then when the Chachamim heard all of the events, they said, take a look at the psychology of people who want a position. This guy originally ran away from the position, right? He was Boreach. He said, no, I don't want to be it. I'll give it to my older brother. And Afal P came, he was ready to murder for it. So Hamavakesh Leredla, somebody who actually wants to be elected president. Imagine what kind of murder he is. I mean, he's ready to do anything in order to get that position. That's what they brought the Gavur Gomer. And in fact, we have a beautiful Braita, Rabbi Yoshua ben Prachio, who was one of the Nasiim. He's listed in the whole list of the Zugos HaNasiim. And he said, Bitchila, before I became the Nasi, if somebody would say to me, listen, we want to make you Nasi, I would take the guy, tie him up, and throw him in front of a lion for him to be eaten so that nobody should dare think about making me a Nasi. Good God, that's all I need to destroy my life. Now, once they made me a Nasi, Ata, somebody who says you should resign, forget about the lion, I'll kill him myself by boiling him in hot water. Myself. And we see this from the whole story of Shaul, the horrible story. Here is Shaul doing whatever he can. No, I don't want to be king. It's not me. Find somebody else. And he's hiding out there in the luggage room, and nobody knows where he is. He's ready to do anything not to be the king, right? And then, after he was Allah to the throne, he's ready to kill. So now he's Bikish Laroga David, because somehow or other David represents a threat to him. He doesn't even know how, but basically he's got to get rid of David. And this is his big lover, you understand. So he's ready to kill for the very thing that he was almost ready to kill not to be. Now he's ready to kill his closest friends because maybe it's going to be taken away from him. You want to take a look at how human minds are affected by positions and covet. So just imagine, as Naftali begged someone not to take a position, begged him, and sure enough, that was the end. So,
well, the bottom line is we clear that we're not sure which brother was more crazy when he did the different shits in the Gemara. They were very clear.
I hear all of this, but now, you know what? It's so persuasive. The pasuk in Yeshayahu. I mean, how in the world is Rabbi Meir, who says that it was not for Hashem, how does he understand the pasuk in Yeshayahu? So when was there a Mizbeach LaHashem in Mitzrayim? You said it's for Avodah Zarah. So Rabbi Meir, I called the Rabbi Yehuda my Ovidle. Ah, he says that's a whole different Maisa. That pasuk was La'achar Ma'apalatosh of Sancheiriv. This is a Maisa that was 5 centuries before. This was after Sancheiriv was destroyed. The whole army was destroyed. So remember the Gemara that we had in Sanhedrin that talks about how he persuaded all of the nations to send like their princes and their princesses, and they should go with him in beautiful carriages. This is going to be the great victory of the Goyim over the Jews, and it's going to be the great covet, you know, for Norway and Spain and France and all these idiots. And they should send their representatives to be there for the big moment. So what happens? So after Sancheiriv runs away and his entire army is wiped out, but all the people that he had brought, they didn't get away, and they weren't wiped out because they were only there as the representatives of the various nations. So anyway, so Chizkiyahu comes out, and he finds Matz'ah b'nei melachim sh'ayu yoshvim b'kronot shel zahav. And they're all there, you know, these spoiled kids are all sitting there in their golden Mercedes. And so he's going to kill them all unless they're Mekabel. I mean, obviously, after they saw the Nisim with Sancheiriv, they were in no position to argue. So he diran, he made them take a neder that they'll never be Eved Avodah Zarah, and he let them go. And that's what happened. Shenemar, what happened was, by Yom Ahu Yiyu, Chamesh Arim Be'eretz Mitzrayim Medabrot Tzvat Kinan. What happened is that all of these guys basically became Shomer Mitzvahs, at least the Mitzvahs of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Naya. And they all started speaking in Lashon HaKodesh, and they went to Eretz Mitzrayim, and they had these kibbutzim over there with all of these princes that were all speaking Hebrew, you know, went to Ulpan, and they were keeping these basic mitzvahs. And Nishba'ot La'Shem Tzvakot. These were the guys. Now, this was centuries before. They went to Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim. They were Bonu Mizbeach. Ve'elo Lav L'Shem Shamayim. And that's why the next pasuk says, Bayom Avu Yem Mizbeach La'Shem B'toch Eretz Mitzrayim. It's nothing to do with the story of Chonyo. What do you think Yeshayahu is talking about? Chonyo, he's talking about things that were happening during the time of the Tanakh is what he's talking about. Yes, Moshe Reuven, dear. Hello, come in, come in. I guess the bear's
got... Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you, but you seem to have disappeared from the screen. We thought the worst.
Okay, got it. So first of all, I've always been disturbed by those references to Alexandria so far long before Alexander.
But then, huh?
And second of all, how could Shimon HaTzadik make such a terrible error after all he was familiar with Yaakov Avinu and everything that had happened when he was messing around with the children?
Fascinating questions. The Alexandria question, I will leave to Barnea to research what the name was before it was actually called Alexandria. And as far as explaining away Shimon HaTzadik, you know, all tzaddik can make the mistake of believing that people are like them. That's a big problem in life. Right. Take a look all around you and see how many examples there are of this in all of the dynasties of tzaddikim believing their children are tzaddikim. All right. Anyway, we'll see you, Bezrat Hashem. I wish I could answer you more fully. See you tonight, I hope. 7:30, you said, is good. Everybody seemed to be okay with that. So, I hope to be zocher to meet with you and do a siyum on Zvachim the night before we have to finish Menachas. I figured, boy, it's about time, no? So we'll finish up Zvachim, deal with Pesach Sheni, Bezrat Hashem, and also have part of that shiur be a separate, not separate, but separable afterwards into the first of a series of shiurim on the identity of what it means to be a Ben Yisrael, Bezrat Hashem. Okay, Kol Tov, wishing everybody Yisrael Tovot.